Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Brian Stavely Show here on the Last American Radio Broadcast. You know, normally we pretty much tell you what we're going to talk about. We go over the topic list a little bit, and then we kind of dive into it. Right now, there's actually something breaking in Chicago, so we're going to get right into that, and then we'll get into the other stuff after. A gunman actually went into a FedEx building. A former FedEx employee went in and started open fire on everybody. This just happened. I only got it off a few mainstream sources, so, you know, if some of the details of the story are a little foggy, I'm just telling you that's the reason why. This thing just came out. Like, I just saw it probably 10 minutes ago. It appears that, you know, they have buildings in for post offices and FedEx and stuff, and I used to work in one of them, like a mail, like a processing facility, and there's a lot of vehicles inside. They actually, you know, drive right in through big bay doors or whatever. And, of course, big trucks back up and unload the big loads of mail. So I guess when this guy ran in there, he dove inside one of the vehicles that was inside the building. And then he started blasting his gun off. I don't know if he had an assault rifle, if he had a handgun, if he had a couple handguns. It didn't really say. But obviously, as it develops more, we'll get all that information. But it said, you know, he started busting shots off at everybody, but nobody got hit. Not a single person got hurt, so he was the only one. And then, you know, as everybody's trying to clear out of there, an unknowing truck driver pulled in, backed his truck in or whatever. He started to get out of the truck and walk in, and all the people are fleeing the building. So they told him, hey, you know, there's a gunman inside. So he hops back in his truck, but before he can lock the doors, the gunman's already there. He's hopping in the truck. He's got his gun to the guy. The guy begs for his life. You know, it appears that the gunman didn't even want to hurt him. And seeing that nobody got shot, I'm wondering if he even wanted to shoot anybody or if he just wanted to make a scene. You know, he demanded the driver get out, which he did. He got out fine. He ran off, dove behind some cars or whatever. I don't know, you know, exactly what happened next, but it said an hour later, there were more shots fired. And police said that he had shot himself. And it said that they ID'd his body and then looked for any victims with remote cameras. So I guess I don't even know if they went in there yet. But this just happened in Chicago. So, you know, obviously we'll look into it more as the day goes on in the next couple of days. And, you know, see the validity of it, because I don't believe anything right on its face. I'm not saying this didn't happen. It sounds like it probably did happen. But I do, you know, do want to look into it a little more. Just thought I'd mention it. I mean, it doesn't really have any bearing on what we're talking about today really too much. You know, we'll see who they try and pin this on, you know. We'll see if it's a certain, you know, a certain group of people that they try and pin it on, if it's from a certain, you know, a certain nationality, or if it's just the disgruntled former employee story, you know. And you'll start seeing those stories come out within the next hour or two, I'm sure. So if you guys, you know, not that I want you guys to ever turn on your TV, but if you want to catch this story after as it's breaking, I mean, you could probably get a little bit off there. The other few things I want to talk about today, and one of them is, you know, this has to do with Iran a little bit. Well, it has to do with Iran a lot. The Air Force is going to get 8 new 30,000-pound bombs, okay? 30,000 pounds each, these bombs. And what they're for, guys, is they're for taking out, like, subterranean bases. So, just like they were talking, remember we talked about a week or two about Iran and how we were saying, you know, the U.S. is probably going to try to attack by the springtime because they're worried that Iran is going to move some of their bases, is going to move some of their bases deep, deep, deep underground, and we need to hit them before that. So, that's what these are for, okay? That's in case we don't get there in time and we need to blast out Iran. And this is for Iran specifically. And listen, I'm going to tell you why. They're shipping this stuff, okay, when they get it, along with – Obama made a deal with the United Arab Emirates, okay? And they're going to let us stockpile all types of missiles and weapons and bombs to attack Iran in Abu Dhabi. Logistically, I don't know exactly where Abu Dhabi sits to Iran, but I do know they're both in the Middle East. So, I mean, you know, it's like they're just, you know, United Arab Emirates obviously stands with us, and they're going to let us deliver 500 Hellfire missiles. Okay, those are air-to-surface missiles, basically like, you know, the ones you would see fired off of, I think you would fire those off of a helicopter, wouldn't you? I'm not sure, though. I mean, maybe it's off of a plane. I'm not going to pretend to be a military weapons expert because I don't really know the first thing about all that stuff. They're going to put 4,900 smart bombs over there, and I say the word smart bomb loosely, okay? Smart bomb. We all know how smart these bombs are. The thing with these guys, like I said, supposedly they can go 200 feet below the surface and blow everything out, not just get that deep, like destroy anything 200 feet below the surface. I think that might be a stretch, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past them. So they've got 8 of these being built right now. I don't think they're done yet. I think they're still building them, but all the other stuff is ready to go. Okay, they're ready to deliver the Hellfire missiles. They're ready to deliver the smart bombs. We're going to stockpile them all in Abu Dhabi. We already know that they're putting up drone bases all over Africa and all over Asia. We talked about this, okay? Guys, if you go outside your house and there's a drone floating above you, okay, and it's already taken out a few civilians in your neighborhood, are you living in a free country? I mean, seriously. Then that's what we're doing. We talk about the wars on here a lot. We talk about all types of stuff. One of the things that doesn't get talked about a lot anywhere, pretty much, is the drone strikes in these other countries that we don't mention, like Pakistan and Yemen and Sudan. And I don't want to misquote it. We'll leave it at that for now. But, you know, there's been a lot of civilian uprising and hatred towards the United States for doing this. We've been killing a lot of people with drone strikes. And we'll do things like take out apartment buildings just to kill one bad guy. Well, first off, even if it was a bad guy, is that okay? Is that an okay trade-off? Kill an apartment building full of civilians just to kill one guy? Can't we just stake the guy out and wait till he leaves? Like, seriously. I'm not joking. Can we just stake him out and wait till he leaves? Do we have to kill him in the building full of all the people? And then second off, I mean, it's all bogus. I mean, we know this. We know who the bad guys are. We know who's getting pointed as and being fingered as the bad guys. And so civilians are going to pay for this? And that's what happens every time. That's why I get so pissed off about it. And that's why I'm pissed off about this Iran thing. You know who's going to pay for this? You know who's going to pay the price with these 4,900 smart bombs? It's not going to be the Iranian military. It's going to be their civilians. Okay? It'll be their military too, but it'll be their civilians just as much. And their civilians can't defend themselves against that. They didn't do anything. Just like we didn't. Just like, guys, just like we don't. If you are awake and you do have an idea of what's going on, you probably don't support a lot of the things that this country does as far as foreign policy, invading other nations, and things like that. So do you think those people over there do? Or do you think that they're like us? They're probably just like us, aren't they? What, because they live over there, they're so much different? No, they're just regular people that probably care about their families, care about their friends, want to live their life, want to have a job, want to contribute to society, and don't want to kill people, and don't want to be involved. And you know what? We're dragging them into a war. We're dragging all of those people through the mud. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to bomb the crap out of them. And it's going to be called collateral damage. That's it. It's collateral damage. Not, oh, you know, we're sorry we killed your family, yada, yada, yada. What can we do? You know, it's no. It's just collateral damage, and it's acceptable. You know, we killed a bad guy. Oh, you killed one bad guy. Okay, well, you killed 20 good guys. Shouldn't the ratio at least, you know, be closer to even? I mean, come on. You killed 20 good guys and one bad guy, and that's good? And this goes on all the time. You know, you could attach any name you want to it, any one of these terrorists that they've killed in these strikes with the drones. You know, it happens all the time. Every few months you hear about it. And it's really going on all the time. And the civilians dying all the time from our drones. It's like Terminator out there. It's like fighting against machines. There's not even people flying these things, guys. They're remote controlled. And they're flying overhead, wiping people out. Oh, that's real tough. That's real tough. Use your remote control airplanes to take us down and take out our civilians that aren't even armed. And then you know what happens, guys. You know, when it's one of those civilians turns around and shoots a rocket launcher at that thing, right? They're all over the news as a terrorist. A terrorist? If that thing was flying over my house, killing the kids on my block, and I shot a rocket at it, I'd be a patriot, wouldn't I? Of course I would. Everybody would be celebrating in the street. We go over. We friggin' pick the thing up if it was down, you know? But they're terrorists for defending their land that they've been on for hundreds or thousands of years. I don't know the history of Iran. I'm not going to pretend to tell you I know how long the people have been there. All right? But I know it's been at least several hundred years, if not thousands of years. Being over in the Middle East, you know, with all the rich history over there, I'm tending to think there were people there probably for thousands of years in Iran. And now we're going to go over there and call them terrorists because they're going to protect the land that they've been on for this long. When do we stop? Do you think it's going to stop at Iran? You're out of your mind. You really think so? Out of your mind. We thought it was going to stop with Afghanistan. Nope. We thought it would stop with Iraq. Nope. We thought it would stop with Libya. Well, by this point, I didn't think it would stop with Libya, but some people did. And nope. Now it's going to be Iran. And there's still other countries, okay, that they're financially independent, okay? They're not giving into this global financial system and this global government. They're totally independent. And you know what they are? Those are the countries that we call terrorist nations. They give you a list. We've talked about this before. They'll give you a list. Syria, Iran, used to be Afghanistan and Iraq and Lebanon and North Korea. Big terrorist nations, right? Those are all the nations that are financially independent. And they won't let things like World Bank in their country. They won't, you know, deal with people like the IMF. You know, when we talked about Gaddafi, and we talked about the whole reason why they wanted to take him out, guys. And the main reason, there's always a whole bunch of reasons. But the main reason was the economy. You know, he was going to set up his own economy, backed by gold, backed by him with almost $100 billion of his own money. And not only was he going to do that for everybody in his country, basically to secure their economy and make sure what was happening around the world didn't happen to his people, he was going to do it for the whole damn continent. Yeah, the whole continent of Africa. And with what we're doing right now, think about this. We talked about it. We're going into Africa. We want all of Africa's resources. We're going to be in Africa for the next 15, 20 years, if not longer. Okay, Africa is the new Mideast for us. We're still going to be in the Mideast, but we're going to be taking over Africa. Africa's rich in resources. So while we're taking over Africa, do you think we can have this guy setting up an economy system that we're not able to penetrate whenever we take over one of these other countries? That's never going to fly. They were never going to let that fly, okay? Even if we weren't going into Africa, they probably wouldn't let that fly. But seeing as we're going in there, and we're going to be occupying these countries, and you better believe it, we're going after this other guy, too, this stupid Liberation Army thing in Uganda. It's just more excuses to be over there and drop our drills on the ground, okay? Do you really think they were going to let Gaddafi get every one of these countries on a gold-backed currency system and not have to, worry about dealing with us, dealing with, you know, what's going to happen with the American dollar ruining their economy? Nobody wants to deal with our money anymore. They're not terrorists. They're just not stupid. Why would they want to? We purposely inflate it. Look at, you're telling me it's not on purpose, but we owe China all this debt, right? How long do you think they're going to stand by as we make their debt worth less and less and less and less? That's effectively what happens with inflation when you owe all these people money, okay? Just let's make it a simple number, okay? If you owed China $100, okay, and $100 could buy you a huge grocery order, you know, when you owed them the money 5 years ago. Well, now the $100 can't even buy you half of a grocery order, right? So is the $100 worth the same to them? They can't even go food shopping with it, right? And that's what we're doing. I mean, there's plenty of reasons why they're playing with the economy. I mean, with all the insider trading and all the... every time they create one of these fake bubbles, there's always a ton of cash to be made up front. There is. I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about economics, and I don't. But I do know a little bit where, you know, when they create these artificial bubbles, as with anything, before the bubble bursts, all the people that jump on board in the beginning, okay, they make a ton of dough up front before everything goes south, and then they get out. And then everybody that's still in, like the people, you know, say the person that bought the house, they get the crap end of the stick. You know what I mean? Yeah, so I don't know where I was going there. I was, you know, talking about Iran for a little bit, and it's, you know, yeah, it's sad to get into the economy, but you know, they're not going to let that happen. They weren't going to let that happen in Africa. They weren't going to let Gaddafi stand in our way. Okay, they want to, you know, while they're over there, it would be to their benefit to get, you know, get these other nations' economies under their control. Basically, do you know what I'm saying? And with Gaddafi's system in place, it wasn't going to happen. Okay? It was not going to happen. I'm still pretty upset about that, honestly, that they took that guy out. Now, I understand that he had a, you know, checkered past. But how much of that do we even know is true, guys? All the stuff we were told about. Think about the news now and how much they just lie about these guys. You don't think they were lying before? No, I never, you know, I never studied into them. And I'm going to talk to some people that I know that did and see what they think. But, you know, how much of him being a terrorist is even true? Was he just a guy that wanted to be independent this whole time? I'm not saying he wasn't a terrorist. I just don't have the information. I can't go off what the mainstream news tells me anymore. Okay? And I haven't been on this game long enough to tell you the truth of this matter. I don't know. But can we believe anything they ever said about this guy? They don't have any credibility with me, guys. None. What do you think happens when they hear stories like this? This news has to get back to them. That the U.S. is going to move all these bombs to the United Arab Emirates and... Oh, supposedly, I forgot to tell you also, guys, these 30,000-pound bombs, they can be loaded on a B-2, and B-2 bombers has technology that basically makes them invisible to radar. You know, I had a vet that has another radio show. He's a friend of mine on here now, and he was explaining it to me one night. I'm going to have to ask him again or have him on and explain it to you guys how the B-2 actually works, but it has some crazy advanced technology that, like, almost makes a wave around it or something that radar can't penetrate or something like that. I don't really know. He was explaining it to me, and it sounded pretty sick. But anyways, what do you think they do when they hear this? Do you think they're panicking in Iran? Do you think that they're ready? Like, bring it on. They want to fight and just get it over with. I'd probably just want to get it over with because it's inevitably going to happen. Every time we start bad mouthing somebody and start framing them for framing them like they're doing. Like they're doing something wrong. It, you know, we go in there. It's only a matter of like a year or two, right? I mean, look, there was a lot of talk before Iraq, before we went in there. Obviously, Afghanistan, there was talk, but not that we knew about. It was talk that was, you know, done in backdoor meetings with, you know, with oil deals and gas pipelines and all this. You know, as far as we knew at the time, it was a surprise, but that was no surprise. Okay, they actually told the Taliban that we were going to bomb them. I'll actually quote them, okay? And this came out of an UNCOAL meeting, which is it's a gas or energy company, UNCOAL. And I forget who our exact, you know, representatives or whatever were that were over there that actually said it, but we told the Taliban because we wanted to build a gas pipeline through all of central Afghanistan, okay? We wanted to compete with the Russians because they're doing similar things over there and the Chinese. As you know, they just signed a big, huge oil deal about 6 months back, and they decided not to use the U.S. dollar anymore. So that was a big deal back then. Anyways, we wanted to build this big gas pipeline through central Afghanistan, and the Taliban wasn't having it. They stood their ground. They're like, no. We would tell them no, wouldn't we? I would. I mean, get the hell out of here. It's our own gas. You know, beat it. You know what I mean? You want it, you buy it off us. Well, but you know us, we're just going to go in there and steal it. That's what we do. We steal off people with guns and missiles. Think about it. That's a pretty scumbag move, isn't it? Why don't we just buy it? God knows they make enough, fudge enough deals where they could create some artificial currency, or they make up enough BS programs that you know, suck the tax dollar out of every American. All right, guys, you know what? We're going to take a quick 3-minute break, and we will be right back. Okay, everybody, we are back. Thank you for sticking with us during that very, very brief break. I think right before we left off, I'm pretty sure we were talking about Iran. We were talking about Africa, okay? We got into Africa a little bit and how they weren't going to let Gaddafi set up that whole economy when they're going to be going in there and into all these countries and getting resources. Africa is going to be like our new Mideast, I think. I think once we're done with Iran, you can really expect us to focus in on Africa. As you guys know, we're already over there assisting, you know, assisting in some BS, Liberation Army War, some crap. Something that I don't see why we need to be involved in. Well, I'll tell you why. Because we have an interest there. Okay? We have a serious interest in going into there. There's everything in Africa. There's not just oil. There's diamonds. There's lithium. There's, you know, the less developed countries are, the more resources they have. That's why we don't have, you know, as much resources, because we have so many people, so much development, so much of it gets used up. Africa, as you know, a lot of it isn't developed yet. You know, a lot of it is, but a lot of it isn't. There's still a lot of, you know, jungles and rainforests and whatnot and desert and everything else. It's rich in mines full of, you know, different minerals and whatnot. And we're not going to let that pass by. We're going to go in there and take all that. I just wonder why, you know, when are we going to butt heads with some of these other people that are trying to do the same thing, like China, Russia? Or are they kind of pretty much all just in on it together? Kind of like how the U.S. and the Russians were during the Cold War, building up their arms and becoming superpowers, and nobody else could really compete with them after. Have the three of them kind of been working in cahoots the whole time? Have they? Has this tension between China and the U.S. just been fraudulent, and that's why they never really step in when we seem to go into these nations where they might have an interest as well? I don't know. They could be. You know, because you know on a certain scale, on a certain level, it's much bigger than just the United States or China, okay? So if in the interest of whatever, you know, whatever conglomerate they belong to, if the interest is for basically either one of them to just go in there and take all the resources out, well, the other one's not going to say boo about it, right? I don't know if that's the case. You know, it's going to take a lot of looking at. But it could be, you know. It could be. All this tension between us and China could just be like the tension was between us and the Soviets back in the 70s and 80s. It could be like that, okay? It could all just be a smokescreen. Because they all, you know, you always think... You always hear, like, oh, you know, if we do this, China's going to want to attack us. Or if we do that, China's not going to have it. Then when it comes down to it, China doesn't do anything. And it's not because they don't have the technology or the capability to attack us. We'd be foolish to think that they don't, okay? Why would we have any better technology than them? We wouldn't, okay? We wouldn't. We'd be on an even playing field, okay? You could say we've been doing it longer, okay, but as of late, they've been doing things better. So, you know, I'd say it's about even. You'd be naive to think that your technology is just so far superior to your enemies. That'd be a stupid way. And we know it's not people. I mean, they've got plenty of people. We know that. They've got way more people than we do. They've got billions of people. We have 300 million. That's nothing. They've got billions of people, okay? So if it came to a ground invasion, they certainly could pull it off, or at least, you know, give us a serious threat of them pulling it off. Why does it never happen? Because I don't think it was ever meant to happen. I think they've been working together the whole time. You know, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe they really are really pissed over this debt thing. Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? The other thing I kind of wanted to talk about is this little girl, Lucy Hicks. Now, Lucy Hicks is a 13-year-old girl that just recently had an HPV vaccine. Now, we talked about HPV, you know, at great length. We did two vaccine shows back on the, I think it was the 2nd and the 3rd of the month, okay? And on the second show, we talked about how in California, They had just passed some legislation, AB 499. It's nicknamed the Anti-Parent Bill. And what that does is allow children 12 years old or older to be vaccinated against STDs without their parents' consent. You hear what I'm saying? Without their parents' consent. And now, I'm not saying that's what happened to this girl, because this girl, her parents did know she got the vaccine. But she could have had all this happen to her without her parents even knowing how it happened. Now, let me tell you what happened. She had the Cervarix vaccine, okay? And we talked about the Gardasil shot. And when we talked about the Gardasil shot, we told you there were two vaccines for HPV. Now, if I'm wrong, just correct me here, and I might be wrong. I'm actually just kind of guessing here. I'm assuming that this one is the other shot, because it says this is a vaccine for HPV. So I'm assuming this is the other shot that we mentioned the last time. Well, since she's had this shot, guys, this girl's been unable to talk, unable to walk. She sleeps 23 hours a day. 23 hours a day, she's basically in a coma. This little 13-year-old girl, this little straight-A student that was full of life, all because they made her get a vaccine, and now she's crippled in her bed, and she can't walk. She can't even talk. She's a vegetable. She's a vegetable. Okay? Now, for those of you that heard our other show on vaccines, this could happen without the parents even knowing what happened. So imagine your daughter comes home one day, okay? Everything's fine. She goes up to her room. You call her down for dinner a couple hours later. She doesn't come down. So you go up there, knock on the door. Nobody answers, all right? You open the door, and she's friggin' comatose. Or she's having convulsions. Or she has genital warts. And that's nasty, I know. But that's one of you got to get that across, because this could be your kid. Your kid could come home with displaying one of these symptoms, and you have no idea that they got a vaccine. So what are you going to think? You're going to think your kid got raped or something. And you're not even going to know. And if they're having convulsions and seizures, I don't even know what you're going to think. And you're not going to know what to tell the doctor. And you're not going to know what to tell the hospital. And you're going to be dead set knowing that your kid didn't get any vaccine. And if they already did it behind your back to try to win a free iPod in a school contest or something by getting the most vaccines or referring the most vaccines, and yes, that goes on, well, guess what? They're not going to tell you now, because they're going to think they're going to be in a lot of trouble. So they're not going to tell you. And the doctor's not going to know how to treat it. And they're going to run all the wrong types of tests on your kid. And who knows what could happen after that, right? Who knows what could happen after that? And these scumbags in California, and we read their names on the air. We went over the whole list, guys. We went down the whole list of these scumbags. They took payment from the Merck drug company, the people that make the vaccine, just months before they passed this legislation, okay? At the end of 2010, these people took straight up money, straight up cash from Merck. Most of them took around $2,000 to $3,000. One guy even did it for $300. He put his name on a bill allowing your kids to get vaccinated against your parents' consent, without their consent. And I'm sure against it. I'm sure against it. I'm sure if they were against it and they weren't letting the kid have it, okay, but the school's gonna let them do it behind the back, I don't think the school's gonna be like, oh well, your mommy said no, so we're not gonna do it. No. They're going to line that kid right up, roll up their sleeve, stick that needle in their arm. That's what they're going to do. And now this girl, okay, 13, and her life is going to be a vegetable? Is this how she's going to be forever? I hope not. She's a vegetable. Think about your kid turning into a vegetable. Not being able to talk. Not being able to walk. The life's just totally sucked out of your kid. Because you didn't want your kid to get sick, so you gave him a shot ahead of time. Parents, you got to think about this. If you still take your kids to get vaccinated, you need to do some serious homework. This isn't, when I'm telling you this story about this little girl, okay? This isn't an abnormal case here, okay? This is the norm. This is what goes on. Okay? You understand? This is what goes on, guys. All the time. All the time. And it's kids. It's not just adults. It's mostly kids. they're paying the price for this because of the adults' ignorance in many cases. Obviously, when, you know, they're getting vaccinated behind your back, it's cool. That's not your ignorance. But if you're still taking your kids and you're not listening to the things we've been telling you here, you hear from some other people in the alternative, you know, research community, you really need to do some homework on it, okay? Because you're basically giving your kids a death sentence. You know, in this day and age, you know, people used to say how free this country was. I just don't see it at all now. We're not free to make our own health decisions. We're not free, you know, on food. We're not free to choose how we heat our homes. This new thing with the EPA, right? They're coming down on everybody that's heating their house with wood stoves now. If you heat your house with a wood stove, they're just, you know, they're not having it anymore. And they just want you to switch to the more expensive, EPA-approved, you know, stoves that don't even work as good. If your house is freezing cold, they don't even work as good. People don't want to pay these outrageous energy bills. And if they can find alternatives to it and live off the grid, then so be it. You should be able to do what you want. Who the hell are they to tell you you can't burn some wood to heat your house? Huh? I'll tell you who they are. They're the same people that tell you you can't have regular light bulbs anymore. The same people that tell you what size toilet seat you need. The same people that tell you you can't drink healthy, unpasteurized, unhomogenized milk. Okay? The same people. It's basically illegal to sell raw milk in this country. Okay? Do you know when they, you know, the process that the milk goes through when you get it at the grocery store? You know that they, like, boil the milk and they basically kill everything that's in it, all the nutrients, everything? They do. Okay? They do. And then you try and, you know, say you have a farm. I mean, they're really clamping down on people for giving out raw milk. It's been going on for a while. I reported on this a while ago. I wrote up an article about it on my website, too, a while back, way before I did this radio thing. You guys, you know, wouldn't have seen it unless you've seen it since then. But this has been going on for a while, okay? There's this big agenda in this country to get everybody switched to GMOs, everybody to, you know, have all this processed food. Even when we're not talking about GMOs, we're talking about all the food's got to be processed. They've got this whole country basically nuking food, microwaving food, which is just absolutely the worst thing you could ever do to your food. You see, guys, you know, just a couple of quick health tips. Don't put saran wrap on your food and then heat it, please. Do never let the plastic touch your food. It's so bad for you. It really is. You know, I did a whole show on this once, too, on the microwave, and it's just, it's bad enough the food's processed and they zap all the nutrients out of it, okay? Then you're going to wrap plastic on it and let the plastic touch it, which is just awful. But then when you nuke the food, they call it that for a reason, you know. You literally are nuking the food. And then you're putting that nuked food in your body. Think about it. Does that sound healthy? Huh? Does it sound healthy to you? It's not. You know, you got to use those things as little as possible. You know, if you can. Heat stuff up in the oven, guys. You know, don't heat it up in the microwave. Since I moved, I haven't got a new one. It's been a few months now. Sometimes it does suck, because sometimes I do need to heat up something that it would take forever in the stove. But I really hardly ever use it. You would never see me, like, cook anything in it. Ugh. I don't know how people even like it. You know what I mean? I don't know how people even like that food out of the microwave, because I think everything you cook out of it is just soggy and disgusting anyways. How could you eat a pizza out of there? It's like all mushy. If you put it in the oven, it's nice and crisp, right? Yeah, but anyways, the microwave is a very, 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 very bad thing for you. You know, every day, more and more in this country, the middle class is shrinking, okay? More and more people are becoming poor. The super rich are becoming richer. And, you know, there's all types of charts and numbers and stuff that people throw out for stuff like this and for unemployment. You don't know what to believe, all right? You really don't. But they're saying, you know, in the last 10, 15 years that it's been about a 20% drop and how many of percentage of people in America are in the middle class. And they're all dropping into the lower class because it's just, there's no work. The economy sucks. We need to stimulate it. Let's release the free energy technology we've been suppressing. Seriously. Let's boost the economy that way. Nobody will have to pay gas bills and heating bills and all this nonsense. But you know it wouldn't happen because they have no interest in stimulating the economy. They have no interest in correcting the problem because the problem falls right into their agenda of what they're trying to get accomplished. So why would they try and fix it? You hear all these cockamamie ideas about how to fix the economy. How about just stop suppressing the technology that would save everybody hundreds of dollars a week? Everybody across the board. We'd all benefit. Every family would have extra money. Every family would be able to pay their bills, and every family would have money to spend in stores, so all those people would have jobs, and the companies that make the products would have jobs, and the big wheel would just start spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. Right? But no, we can't do that. That would make too much sense. Why would they do that? You know what I mean? Stimulate the economy. What is this kid talking about? We don't want to do that. That's the last thing we want to do. I just feel like it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Because I used to think that people cared and wanted to turn it around. I really think that everybody just wants to sink this country. I really feel like that. I feel like they want to sink this ship. And we're going to be the last ones on it as it goes down. Well, I'm not just going to stand by and let that happen. Oh, what's this on the news? Iran victim of cyber warfare. Okay, who are they blaming that on? That's the other thing, too. Cyber warfare, that whole Stuxnet virus that was hit over there like last year. You know, that ended up being us. We launched that. And then when we talk about other countries and internet attacks and everything, you know, we talk about it being an act of war. Everything everybody does is an act of war, but when we do it, it's just cool, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, we'll hack your computers, not an act of war. You know what else we'll do? We'll bomb your country, right? We'll send troops in, and we'll actually kill your leader and remove him. But it's a kinetic military action. That's not an act of war. But if you say you're going to assassinate a foreign ambassador on our soil, that's an act of war. I mean, come on, guys. Then that's not even as bad. They didn't even get to go through with it. We went over there and killed Gaddafi and didn't call it a war. How ass backwards is that? Think about it. We go in your country. We kill a boatload of people. We drop all types of bombs. Ruin your infrastructure. Okay? We get these rebels that are working for us that we say are Al-Qaeda, but we all know who Al-Qaeda really works for. Okay? And they go and oust your leader. And it's not a war. Are you serious? What the hell's a war then? What constitutes a war other than killing a nation's president? I mean, seriously. We killed their leader. That's a war. There's nothing you could do more than an act of war than, against a nation than to kill its leader, isn't there? We assassinate your leader. It's on. It's a war. Not according to us. But they attempt to assassinate a foreign leader on our soil. And then it's an act of war against Iran? That just never made any sense to me. And it never will. It's not meant to make sense. An actual good sign about something. You know, we talk about internet regulations a lot. Internet freedom. And there's two bills going through right now. The Stop Online Piracy Act and the Protect IP Bill. That really, you know, really, really, really restrict our freedom on the internet in many, many different ways. We can actually be prosecuted for posting links to sharing content. I mean, just absolute ridiculousness. Some of the big companies are actually stepping up to the plate now, though, kind of on our side. They're not doing it for our behalf. They're doing it for their own because they feel they're going to be liable to a bunch of lawsuits if this stuff goes down. But, you know, they're big enough where they can make a difference and maybe get this bill shut down. And I'm talking about Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Yahoo, Mozilla, a whole bunch of really big tech companies. They're not happy about it. They don't want the censorship to come through. Whole sites can be shut down because of one file. So say you run a site and one idiot posts a copyrighted material on there. Everybody on your site gets blocked out until the site's back up. All their content. So if they've uploaded, you know, hundreds of gigs of videos, they're not even going to be able to access it. All because one person broke a law, and they might not have even broke a law. I mean, we know how that goes. They want this to become like they say China is with their internet, with the restrictions, with the blacklisted IPs. They want to put a stranglehold over this information, guys. They don't want it out. Without the internet, I mean, that's our biggest form of communication, our biggest tool of information. And they want to end it. They do. They want to be able to shut down websites at will. And I was surprised to see that these companies actually stepped up to the plate, and they're trying to do something about it. They're asking all the, you know, not all of them, but some of them are asking their users to petition the bill and yada yada yada. I didn't think I'd see the day that would happen, but they're doing it for their own good. They know that if this stuff gets passed, okay, it's going to make the road for them real difficult, because they feel that if somebody hosts, you know, pirated content on their site, like say post a link to it on their site, well, then it's going to affect their site a lot. Either they feel they'll get in trouble, or their site might get shut down for something that one person out of millions and millions and millions and millions of people did. You know, they want to act like this is all about copyright and piracy. And this is about freedom of speech. That's what this is about. That's what it's always been about. They want us to control everything. They don't want the internet to be this free information superhighway that it's been. No. They want it to be government regulated, like the television, where you can't get any real information off it. I mean, you really got to dig and search and read between the lines. That's what they want the internet to become. They want it to become this watered-down mainstream outlet. Okay? They want to be able to blacklist all the sites that you like to look at for news. But they don't tell you that. You know, and like we said before, guys, the people out there that don't get it, okay, they see that MasterCard gets hacked by Anonymous, or that China supposedly hacked our Gmail, right? They're going to beg for this stuff because they don't have a clue. They're going to beg for internet censorship and not even know it. The government wants to put filters on people's servers that have over 100 clients to be able to protect you from internal attacks. Why don't you let us worry about that? That's not your business. If we need to worry about internal attacks, then you know what? We'll get some software to do it, or we'll hire an IT guy to do it, or we'll do something. We don't need your government filters on our servers, dude. Seriously. And that's what they want to do. Government filters on everybody's servers. They're going to be looking for keywords. You better believe it. You'll be getting the 404 error not found a lot, looking for certain pages. That's what they want to do. So at least these companies are standing up, and they are the big companies. Tumblr, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Yahoo, Mozilla. There were a few more. I don't have the article in front of me anymore. But, you know, because they're worried to cover their own ass. They don't want to get sued. They don't want to get sued when somebody say, I go up there and I post a link to a pirated movie or something, and, you know, a couple of my friends click on it. They don't want to be held responsible. They're not really sticking up for us. But in the end, if they get this thing shut down, then it will be like sticking up for us, won't it? It will. It will. The only other thing I got, really, that I didn't mention yet, I think, was this, so-called assassination attempt. But, it's, you know, you got to use that word lightly. On Obama. He wasn't even around, okay? So I'm not even going to call it that. That's what they were calling it. He was in Hawaii, and supposedly there was a bullet found inside the White House through one of the first windows, but it didn't penetrate the ballistic glass on the second window. And they already arrested some guy, Oscar Ortega. Supposedly he owned a car that was left abandoned with the assault rifle that the bullet supposedly came from. But the president wasn't around, neither was his family. So nobody was in the residence. So I don't know, you know, what the deal is with the story. I just actually heard about it yesterday, but they said it happened on Friday. And by 2 p.m., they had already arrested the guy. I mean, that's pretty much all there is to it. I mean, there wasn't really much more to the story. Nobody was around, so there wasn't any big chaos. I don't even think that they heard the shot when it went off, which kind of surprises me that they would find a bullet after and not hear a shot fired around the White House. That kind of surprises me that they wouldn't be all over it right from the start. But who knows? You know, we talked about raw milk for a few minutes, and we're almost up at the top of the hour, guys. We're gonna be done in about 5 minutes here. But we were talking about raw milk and how they make raw milk illegal. It's everything, though. It's everything that's healthy for you. They don't want you to really know. Like almonds. Okay, there was recently an almond company that tried to put on it that it was good for your heart because it is. It can prevent heart disease and heart attacks. And they were made to take it off by the FDA. And if they didn't, the FDA was going to put a stamp on there that it was an adulterated product. Are you serious? An adulterated product? Make it sound like they put drugs in it or something, right? When it's just the opposite. They were just almonds that are good for your heart. Vitamin C, another huge one, okay? A lot of people do know vitamin C is good for you. But, you know, they don't want you to know to the extent of how much benefit it can really provide to your body. That's one of the vitamins and supplements that they want to get pulled off the shelves. They want to pull almost everything off, guys. They want to pull almost all the supplements made after 1994 off the shelves. All the superfood, the vitamins. Not the synthetic ones, just the natural ones, guys. If you make a synthetic vitamin or a poison or a toxin, we'll approve you, no problem. You want to make a natural vitamin, you got to jump through hoops. We want to know what's in every ingredient. If you make another vitamin and it has 50 of the same ingredients, well, guess what? You still got to individually test all 50 of those ingredients. We don't care if you tested them last week. You're testing them all again. That's what they're doing. And they're going to discourage people from starting companies that give you these products. Of course they are, because it's going to be impossible. People selling vitamins are going to be like coke dealers. They're going to have to hide out from the cops. And that's not even a joke. I mean that dead serious. Just like people that have natural cures for cancer. Or, you know, treatment centers that have cures for cancer. They chase them out of town. They blackball them in the media, make them look crazy, chase them out of this country. If they don't chase them out, they throw them in jail. It's happened to a lot of people. They do it all the time. Like I said before, guys, nobody's going to look out for you and your family. You got to do it yourself. Just do a little bit of research on what you guys are putting in your body, what you shouldn't be putting in your body, and it could go a long way. I mean, really, just a day's research, looking into the foods that you guys eat and what's really going on. I think it, you know, could really go a long way. Especially if you're looking to get into some, like, you know, vitamins or stuff like that. Really do your homework on it first. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of disinformation. Don't get your information from places like the CDC and the FDA and the USDA. Stay away from all those alphabet agencies, okay, guys? Just, you know, have an open mind and read everything that's out there and see what makes sense. That's pretty much all. As far as health news, guys, I like the naturalnews.com. I think that is the best health site, and they have tons of info up there, especially if you have a specific need or a specific condition. There's always, you know, there's usually podcasts and PDF files that you can add to it. Never mind all, there's just tons of articles. So if you want to learn about any, say you wanted to learn about vaccines, you go there and type vaccine in the search bar. Oh my God, so much stuff's going to come up. It's great. It's a great tool. I go on there every morning. It's probably the first site I go on. Well, this is going to be the end of the show, guys. You know, just stay informed and stay on top of things. You know what I mean? Just stay on top of, you know, what you and your family are putting in your body. And, you know, when we'll be back, we're going to be back tomorrow at the same time. And I think tomorrow actually is going to be a special broadcast with me and Justin Cook. We're going to do a special two-hour broadcast. So I'm looking forward to that, guys. We're going to get into a lot of stuff tomorrow, including, you know, how you're being conditioned to just accept things like pedophilia and this other nonsense, okay? That's going to be one of our main focuses tomorrow. So be sure to tune in tomorrow, Friday, 12 noon. That's Eastern time, okay? That's 9 o'clock on the West Coast, 8 Central, okay? I'll be back then. Thank you for tuning in again. You're listening to The Brian Stavely Show on the Last American Radio Broadcast. I'm Brian Stavely, and I'm out.
immortal technique. Revolutionary Volume 2. Yeah. Broadcasting live from Harlem, New York. Let the truth be known. You better watch what the flies out of your mouth, or I'ma hijack a plane and fly it into your house. Burn your apartment with your family, tied to the couch and slit your throat.